It's 8 o'clock. This is KPNF Regional News for Monday, April 27th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill aimed at trying to do a better job of tracking wildfires in Colorado cleared the Senate Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Energy Committee last week. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The detection system aims to show how weather impacts wildfires in real time. Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango is the main sponsor. She says that technology could help protect watersheds, homes, and save lives.
This tool would help us have a better sense of where the wildfire, the intensity, what the weather might be doing with it, where we should or should not send our firefighters.
It would cost the state $600,000 for the first year, and the National Center for Atmospheric Research has already come up with the technology. Opponents say they don't think it's worth the cost, given how much the state has already invested to fight and prevent wildfires. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Details have been released about the DeBec town marshal. Michael Lorsung was dismissed from his position earlier this month, and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation opened a case on him. Last Thursday, Lorsung was arrested on felony counts of embezzlement of public property, theft, forgery, and misdemeanor counts of first-degree official misconduct and second-degree perjury. According to the Daily Sentinel, the arrest warrant details how Lorsung requested a patrol vehicle from Garfield County. He's alleged to have received the vehicle, not disclose it to DeBec town officials, hide it at his personal residence, and then sold the patrol vehicle for $5,000. Lorsung became the town marshal for DeBec in 2011. The Colorado Department of Securities has issued a cease and desist against a Western Slope-based business. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Premium Water Solutions was run by Weldon Walker. Securities Commissioner Gerald Rome explains why they investigated Walker.
Premier Water Solutions was operated by an individual by the name of Weldon Walker. And Weldon Walker had approached investors in the Grand Junction area in 2009, claiming that he had invented a new technology to dispose of water produced during natural gas extraction, and that he could do this in a safe and environmentally sound manner. And so he touted this new technology to investors and asked them to contribute their investment funds towards a purchase of some New Mexico property where the technology could be manufactured and housed. And he obtained about five investors who contributed about $165,000 into the company.
Things went sour when an investor decided to take a trip to New Mexico to check out the facility, only to find vacant buildings and the property repossessed. Walker was issued the cease and desist on a settlement because Walker wasn't certified through the state to sell securities, to lawfully take on investors.
What we always tell investors is they need to do their homework, especially when you're talking about investing in small companies or new products or companies that don't have much of an operating history, which applied, all of those factors applied here. And doing their homework involves checking the people out, checking the company out, and you can do that by contacting our office.
This is all happening just after major legislation was passed that will set up a website for crowdfunding of small businesses, much like Indiegogo or Kickstarter, but for Colorado-based businesses. Rome says that investing will be above board.
Crowdfunding is going to be a bit different than what happened here because we'll have oversight of that process. With Premier Water Solutions, there simply wasn't any oversight by our office, and it's unfortunate that investors invested with Mr. Walker. They lost their investment funds, but we want investors to know that that sort of thing is preventable if they are willing to simply do some work before they make their investments.
No criminal charges against Walker are being pressed. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A new federal report finds in 2014, national parks saw a record number of visitors, and those tourists generated nearly $30 billion in economic activity. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Colorado has a dozen national parks, More than 6 million people visited these sites last year, according to a National Park Service report. It says tourists contributed more than $370 million in visitor spending to local gateway communities. The study says that spending supported 5,800 jobs in the state. Overall, NPS estimates national parks had an economic impact of $552 million on Colorado's economy.
Colorado National Monument's really very well known for the hiking that happens here. Bicyclists really enjoy biking through the monument as well.
That's Valerie Golke, the acting chief of interpretation and education at the monument. She says more than 400,000 people visited the site last year.
And so here at Colorado National Monument, it was calculated out that about $25 million goes back into the community from our visitors who come here and then enjoy attractions and amenities.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
As the state legislature enters the home stretch, lawmakers debated a controversial measure to study whether to transfer federal lands to the state. Another bill aimed at relieving congestion on I-70 headed through the mountains also became contentious. Benta Berkland looks at both proposals as part of our Capital Conversation series.
Joining us, we have Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald and Joey Bunch with the Denver Post. Thanks for talking to me. Joey, let's start with you. Talk about this I-70 issue and what it's about and why it ended up being kind of controversial.
Mostly what it would have done would have had CDOT turn on the warning signs to tell people that they need to have adequate tread or chains to go into the mountains, where now CDOT does that on a voluntary basis. The requirement for tire tread is still an eighth of an inch. The fines didn't change. But what the sponsor, Diane Mish Bush, was hoping was that it would raise awareness and education around the issue that people need to have adequate tires or chains to go into the mountains. Because when I-70 shuts down, it's $800,000 economic impact to the businesses in the high country for each hour that is closed. CDOT says it's $1 billion a year. This is a small band-aid on a very large wound, which is the congestion issue on I-70. 36,000 cars a day went through the Eisenhower Tunnel last month. Last year, it was 34.5. The year before that, it was 33.5. The issue is only getting worse. This bill would have been a step in that direction, but now it's a study, and people who have been meeting on this for months feel like they're going to have to wait another year to get any resolution.
Well, Peter, I want to transition to another study that's getting a lot of people up in arms.
Yeah, so we've been seeing the federal lands issue really come front and center at the Colorado legislature. It's a narrative from a national movement, which a lot of folks believe is steeped in conservative politics, to sort of transfer federal lands over to local state control. But the politics has sort of overshadowed the debate, because what we're looking at is environmentalists, conservationists, sportsmen. They believe it's sort of the first strike in transferring these lands over to the state control, which they think is unbelievably costly. I mean, we're talking about figures that start at $27 million or more, that the mismanagement of those lands could result potentially in shutting down those precious lands, which Coloradans, you know, we value so strongly in this state.
Thanks. That was Joey Bunch with Denver Post, Peter Marcus, a reporter with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.